with all kind of problems, we're more than conquerors, more than conquerors, through Christ that loved us and gave himself for us. We are more than conquerors. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, I believe I can conquer, and that's good, and that's the way you should feel. But I want you to know that before you ever make your first effort in Christ of what he's done for you and what he's given to you, or God has given to you in Christ, you are more than a conqueror. It's already finished. It's already in your behalf. It's already done. There's nothing you can add to it. There's nothing that you have to do. You're more than a conqueror already as to what he did in your behalf. And all he asks you to do is believe it. Just believe what he has said about it. I've been through this Bible numbers and numbers of times. I've spent my life in this Bible. And I know for sure that these things are true. It's not something I'm guessing at or hoping at or whatever. It's absolutely the truth. It is a finished work, a thing of redemption that was wrought at Calvary. And that thing was wrought on your behalf for the threefold blessing of God, as we've used the terms. And that is for your natural blessing, your physical blessing, and your spiritual blessing. And that natural blessing is that you might have all of these creative acts of God, that is the natural things of God, that is emanated from God, that was made for you, and you being made for God. You were not made for things. Things were made for you, and you was made for God. And as woman is the glory of the man and made for his glory, so is man the glory of God made for his glory. And a lot of times that gives us kind of a prestigious sort of feeling as a man, you know, that we're something special. But you have to remember that the man in God is not without the woman, and the woman without the man, which means that the woman is an equality of the man. You know, we use this thing a lot of times as, well, the woman, she is the weaker vessel. That means she's less than I am, you know, and the man, he kind of gets on a pinnacle and raises himself up, and that's as good as Satan wants. When a person magnifies himself, that's all that he wants. But it is true that the woman being found in the transgression and the man was not found in the transgression, then it proved the woman was weaker than the man, so God gave him the preeminence over the woman that she should honor him and obey him. But you that get vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind, it's because you're just ignorant and don't understand. There is no such thing as woman being inferior to man. Woman is part of man. And the Bible said to love your wife as Christ loved the church. For no man ever come against his own flesh, but nourishes his flesh, watches after his flesh. See, and it says, wives, submit yourself to your husband. And I'm speaking of a great mystery of God, Paul said. And see, we get the idea that the woman is inferior. She is inferior when she is without God. When a woman is without God, then she is inferior to the man, if he hath God. But if he don't have God, she's not inferior to him, because both of them are out of the presence of God and inferior to God. So in God, she is equal with the man. Someone would say, well, she caused the curse and she sinned, Brother Pike, and she brought the problem. And that's true, because she represented the weakness of the flesh, which means you are the cause of it all. If you're not the cause of it all as a man, why don't it say in Eve all die instead of in Adam all die? Why doesn't it say that all people sinned after the similitude of Eve instead of after the similitude of Adam? Why does it say that they sinned after his transgression? Though he was not in the transgression, yet when he left the sonship, as to the image, he became the problem. He was the one. And in Adam all die, so in your first birth you're dead. It doesn't matter how handsome you think you are as a man or how pretty you think you are as a woman. You're dead in the sight of God. You're dead. And if you don't get God in your spirit, You'll find out when you come to the knowledge of the truth and reject that you're twice dead, which means you have passed over the boundary line of worlds and you've committed the unpardonable, and you're twice dead, and that the Spirit is the root to life and you're plucked up by the root. So I said that to try to bring out some things this morning when I go to read. We need to remember that we are flesh, and flesh is the woman, and the woman is in the transgression. She's the one that caused the problem. The flesh is what caused the problem. And when Adam lost that God image as to the Son of God, he was called the Son of God. And when he lost the Son of God image, he was then nothing but flesh as to the weakness of the woman. And God had used that. I tried to explain here as to the revelation, the deep mysteries of God, to where we can understand so we don't misjudge. We have the right kind of understanding. It was not Adam and Eve in the beginning. It was God and Adam. It was the spirit and the body. And God only made a woman, has taken her out of man to show what man had done to the spirit as the body to the spirit. How that the body had betrayed the spirit as to life. In that the spirit was the male, and that it was God that made all things, and it was not man. Things that you see was not made by things which do appear, Paul said, but rather these things that you see was made by things that you do not see, and all of the invisible things of the world that you do not see are clearly made manifest as to your understanding and knowledge, or made known by the things that you do see. So everything is symbolic or allegoric. So we need to remember that, folks. And we are not black, and we are not white, and we are not yellow, and we are not red in the sight of God. As it would be said, God would be colorblind as to those kind of things. You are not something in the world because you're white, or something special because you're black, or something out of the ordinary because you're yellow or because you're red. They sing that little song. What is it? Black or yellow or white? They're all precious in his sight as to the children. See, you do not have to have some kind of a special ability as to a talent or special understanding. You don't have to come from a special royal family of background to be great. You are great because you are God's creation and you are God's creature. He's created all men equally. And when America was established, the forefathers said liberty and justice for all. But of course, that's not so anymore, you know. It's a boycott system as to whoever has the money, whoever can squeeze someone else like a lemon, you know, to get whatever they can out of it. Cons and everything else. But we are people, and we are God's people. And God hath made us for his glory. He hath made us for his glory. And as I said, God only give a symbol of things as to black and to white and to yellow and to red. These things have to be symbolic to show us the condition of life and of the world and to bring us to the knowledge and understanding of the Lord. There's no way he can do it unless he has all of these colors, all of these things, even as the spectrum, as the colors of the rainbow, and as to showing us the refraction of light, as to all of these colors within light. See, God does this, and he does it for his own benefit. He has man, he has woman, he has the elderly, he has the children, he has the younger ones. He does this. Every one of them has to be at these different ages at different times. He has seasons, as winter and summer and whatever it might be, the full seasons of the year. He has to have these things. All of these things are allegoric. All the things that you see that God makes, all the modernism of today, as to scientific research, as to the lights coming forth, as to these kind of things, they must be. There is no way for God to educate his people, spiritually speaking, or bring them into the great superior mind of Almighty God, except he takes them through the schools and colleges of these natural things of life. We should not be upset all the time because things don't go like we want them to. And because we have a little sickness, a little pain, a little misery, or a little poverty, You know? You don't understand how wrong it is for you just to want money and have the best things in life. You can't imagine what a renegade you'd be. To have everything your way is one of the most wretched, devilish things among men. And to lord over your wife is one of the most devilish things. The Bible said that you should not deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. A lot of you put the wife away. The Bible said God hateth putting away. Seeing you put her away and you go get another, and you put her away and you go get another. The Bible said God hates that. You know, you're always falling in love and out of love after you've misused her, and then you want to fall in love with somebody else. And some of you women are the same way. You know, you're to honor your husband, but you can't find enough men to satisfy you. Well, anyway, this is a wretched way of life, especially this youthful generation with their dope and all of their filth, as to an adulterous generation, not just the youth. When God said a sinful, adulterous generation, he wasn't just speaking about the youth. He was speaking about the people. It's the old, it's the young, it's all of them alike. It's a whole generation of people. See, it is evil, it is wretched, it is ungodly, it is impure. And the reason for that is because Satan has succeeded in taking over the world. The gross darkness shall cover the people, which means Satan's intellectual constraint of mind and abilities. See, because when virtue is gone, light is gone. And Satan hath robbed the world of virtue. And the more that the virtue leaves down through the years, the more preeminent and powerful Satan is. The Bible said God hath called us to virtue and to glory. And when the little woman was healed, it was because of the virtue that went out of Jesus' body. And the church is supposed to be the elect lady filled with virtue. And she doesn't have any power, she doesn't have any authority, she doesn't have anything because of the lack of her consecration as to submission and virtue. See, her virtue is God, and when she is filled with virtue, then she belongs to God, and that's God working on the inside of her, and she hath the very desires of her heart. For the Bible said a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband's head, and you can't hardly find a virtuous woman, Solomon said, even in his day. You can't hardly find one, and when we think of the woman, we think that's so trashy. But then when we realize that we all are the woman, and we don't have any virtue toward our husband as to Christ, then that makes us, unless we're born again, the harlot. And the Bible said the whore is a deep ditch as to the harlotry of this world, and they that are abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. She says that stolen waters are sweet, but you know not that her guests are in the chambers of hell. She entices, she allures, and the Bible said as to the stranger standing on the corner, as to the young man that's unlearned, he goeth forth straightway as the ox to the slaughter till the dart strikes through the liver. And she says, I've decked my bed with tapestry and I perfumed my bed. And come, let us take our fill unto the morning because the good man is gone away. See, Solomon spoke this as the Spirit of God spoke through him, speaking of the world and the harlotry of the world and the pretties of the world and the beauties of the world and being cut off in a sleep-like as to the world. For they that be drunken in the night. And the man that's unlearned in the Word of God, that's standing there by the wayside, that doesn't understand as the world woos to you young girls and woos to you young people or men to come out in the world and to dope up and to frolic and to mix, get all mixed up with passions and all these kind of things. And the world says to you, stolen waters are sweet, but her guests are in the chambers of hell. And as it was with Joseph, according to the Bible, when the woman laid hands on Joseph and tried her best to subdue Joseph, and Joseph rent himself out of the clothing and went away from her, leaving his garment in her hand to show Christ Jesus at Calvary, as we said, that Jesus, before he commit harlotry with the world or betray the master, as Joseph said, my master, I'll not betray him. He rend himself out of his bodily garment and left it hanging at Calvary and went away. And then, as it was the punishment of Joseph, as we allegorically see the revelation there, as Joseph went down into the heart of the earth, he was placed in chains. He was placed in prison. All these things that show us Jesus' journey through the heart of the earth and how that he had to pay the penalty for your sins and my sins. Seeing yet being raised again and resurrected as to delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. And so then today we're without sin, we're without spot, we're without blemish. And we have restored to us today the wonderful, wonderful blessings of God and the eternal life that we lost as to that was given to us. That is today belongs to us. And we're born again as an inward person. And the Shekinah that Adam was illuminated with as the image of God has been restored back to us. And today we are the full image of God, which means we have the full blessing of God. And everything is just as it was before there was ever a sin. And folks, I'm telling you once again, before we read this little scripture here, that there is no such thing as a Christian sinning. There is no such thing as him backsliding as to the loss of his salvation. There is no such thing. People who talk about that and believe that is like a computer out of control. They just don't understand. They got the wrong program. Somebody's put the wrong program in them. Children of God are once and for all. Jesus said peace on earth and goodwill toward man. That was eternally and forever. There is no alterations of that. There is no changes to that. That's why everybody that comes along is not elect. That's why everybody that comes along doesn't get saved, as we say. Because even though they come to the altar and they repent and they cry, and even though they come to church and they go through the ritualistics and they perform in church and do all kind of things in church, and they appear to be part of the church, yet David said they come to the holy place, they departed and was turned into hell. They don't get to God because that's not the way this thing is. This thing is straight and narrow and few. And little flock. So, we preach to you as to bring the elect out from among the people. Because these are they that never was sinful to start with. The elect never did at any time, never do anything wrong. They've never done anything wrong in the sight of God. Never, never, never. If they had one tiny spot or blemish that was ever on them in their lifetime, God wouldn't even as much as look at them, let alone call them his bride. His bride is virtuous and spotless and has never been touched. And he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. The evil one hath never touched him. Everything that the evil one touches must be destroyed. The heavens must be destroyed because the evil one touched it. As to the heavens above your head, heaven and earth will pass away. Earth must pass away because the evil one touched it. God will not even let his spotless bride live in the place where Satan has left one tiny fingerprint, as we say. So I only said that as kind of a pretty word to you here to make you to understand that we are special people. We are special people. And we are God's people. And we are called as a holy people, a royal priesthood. And we're not a bunch of renegades that's just falling from one side to another, and a bunch of holy rollers that some boycotting people around somewhere that has a few dollars that judge people as to evaluation according to money and education, whatever. These people having a brainstorm as a computer out of control are out of their mind, and they are in an asylum. People that are in asylum as to people that are having mental problems as to mental breakdowns and whatever are only symbolic of the world with their money and all of their education and their fame and popularity and all of the ecclesiasticals, all the elite, and all of these people that are spectacles in the eyes of the world, whatever it might be out there. You know, you're looking to be a dignitary and you're looking to be a celebrity. Those people are in the asylum and they are in prison. They are out of their minds. They don't understand what they're doing. And they cannot see when good cometh. They cannot see the mind of Christ, which is the sober mind that they've fallen from through Adam by falling from the garden through the expulsion. And they are in the asylum and penned up as to the bondschild to the beggarly elements of the world. And the Bible said the bit is for their mouth and the rod is for their back, because the rod is for the fool's back and the bit for the horse's mouth. which means that they are animals, they are beasts, and some of them brute beasts are made to be taken and burned. That's why they pin them up in a cage like an animal or a bird. They pin them up like animals because they are animals. And sad to say that some of our people, as God people, get mixed up in that, and God suffers it sometimes because he can't get them to listen properly, and he uses them still, as he did Joseph down in the prison, and as he has many of our boys and girls, to reach those that are in prison, and that the people that are out of prison are not considerate enough to go visit those people that are in prison. And that way there are some in there that's got penned up, being misused by the law and whatever, and yet they're children of God. But anyway, so much for that. I just wanted to remind you that you don't need to be whoring after the world and running after the world. If you knew one third of what I understand in God, you'd never go after the world. You'd never want it. Somebody said, well, I guess you call me an ignoramus. I tell you what, you are number one an ignoramus. Anybody that would run after the world and then say that they know about God, Jesus said, he that sinneth has never seen God, never known God. Anybody that'll run after the world and run after dope, there couldn't be a bigger ignoramus than that. An ignoramus indicates that you are ignorant, and Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. So don't ever try to tell me that you know anything about God and running after the world. If you knew one third of what I understand, you wouldn't run after the world. You people that know anything about God, you won't find these people running after the world. You won't find them messing with the world. I've got people that's been here with me ever since I started this place that's still running after the world. They've heard me and heard me and heard me. And they are confident that they understand what I say. And they run after the world. You don't know nothing I said. You've never heard anything that I've said. The Bible said that the wicked don't know nothing that the righteous know or that the righteous say. And the Bible said that Satan hath blinded their eyes of understanding that they cannot even see when good comes. They are blind people. That's what the blind is symbolic of. They are deaf people. That's what the deaf is symbolic of. They are blind and they're staggering around in the darkness. And this thing is hid from them. And the Bible said if it be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. They are lost. They will never see God. And did you know what? God will never see them. God cannot look upon iniquity. And Jesus, having done away with the body of iniquity at Calvary, then God looks upon us because we're in his light, we're in his presence, we're his household, we're his children. But God never even looks at them people. He cannot even look at them people. They are children of darkness and children of the devil, and God doesn't even go into that darkness. Besides, if God got into the darkness to take one look at them, all the darkness would be gone, because wherever light comes, darkness is dispelled. Darkness is eradicated. It dissipates. It goes away. There's no such thing as darkness being where light is. Light and darkness never have any fellowship. That's why the Bible said the temples of God have no fellowship with the temples of Belial. I tell you so often, you girls shouldn't go out here and marry a boy in the world. No, you boys here shouldn't go out there and marry a girl in the world. And if you boys here see one of the girls here, if you're trying to live right and you see that she got her mind on the world, you need to see that she gets converted, or you need to leave her alone. You don't need to marry her, because you're talking about problems. If you're just looking at her face because you think it's pretty, you just wait, one day it'll wither and it'll wrinkle up like a prune, and her hair will get so out of sauce that you wouldn't even spit on her as to look at her. You know, and they'll throw her in the ground and feed her to the worms. And if she thinks you're handsome, all she's got to do is just wait, and after a while it'll be looking like a prune in the face, and they'll throw you into a hole, and the worms will have a feast off of that old beast body that's rotten and turned into corn. So what you need to do is realize that we are spirits, and we're not to know people after their faces and their bodies. Sad to say that you do, and sad to say men and women do, whether married or whatever, that's the way they know each other, instead of after the spirit. That's sad, but that's the way of the world. They walk according to sight. They live according to sight, but we don't live according to sight. We live by faith, for as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. So then we belong to another world, not this world of beast. You know, a cow is nice, An elephant is nice. A lion is nice. All that is nice. But would you want to spend the rest of your life married to a cow? No. No, somebody said, well, what about you? I'm married to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, what about this life, Brother Pike? This life, I'm dead and I'm buried. Somebody said, well, what about your wife? She's dead and she's buried. Somebody said, well, maybe she isn't. Well, so what if I'm dead and buried? She still don't have a husband. Let's give him a thumb. So then we're dead to each other. We're dead to the world. The only thing that you are is a spirit, a quickening spirit. You're born again. If you're not a quickening spirit, then that means that you placed all of your affection on a woman as to a body of a beast. She's placed all of her affection on you as to a body of the beast. And y'all are working for something in the world as to have a name as a celebrity or to have money and securities and this wild, crazy notion about educating your children and seeing that they're fine people in the community. So what? If they're fine and outstanding, they can have a bigger funeral because they can afford more money and more people will be there to see them when they're buried. You know, what kind of foolishness is that? What kind of ignorance is that? Somebody would say, Brother Pike, do you think that's ignorance? That's nothing less than ignorance. Somebody says, well, now, don't you feel like we ought to do all these things, is to be in the world and have all these kind of things? I certainly do not. They sold their houses. They give up what they got. They turned to God. They used what was necessitated to life, having food and raiment. They were content therewith. And the Bible said, as it is written, he that gathered much had nothing left over. They gave their surplus to the hungry, to the needy. Paul said, taking the spoiling of their goods delightfully because they know they have of God a better substance in a world to come. See, and when you go after those things, it's a proof that you're not born again. It's a proof that you are in ignorance. It's a proof that you are blind, because they that do those things out there are blind. If you saw the pearl of great price one time, you'd turn away from all of that. See, and you turn away from that wife, and you turn away from that husband, and you turn away from that son, even to Abraham that took his own little son and offered him up as a sacrifice. You turn away from all of that. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, we're young, and we want a wife and a husband. There's nothing wrong with that. And I'm not against that. And the Bible said, don't despise your youth. Be an example of the believer. That's fine. Find your little wife. You do good if you find a wife. But you that don't find a wife, the Bible said, you do better. And Paul said, if you can keep your virtue as the man as well as the woman, said that the woman cared for the things of God, how she might please him if she's a single woman and serving God. But if she's married, she cared for the things of her husband, how she might please him. And likewise, the man is with care. And Paul said, I would have him without care so that he can serve God without distraction. But nevertheless, you must multiply and replenish the earth. So then God knows that everyone can't receive that saying. And it doesn't make you bad or make you good as to where you marry. Abraham was married, was the father of the faithful. Paul wasn't married. He was a great, mighty man of God. So it makes no difference there, because marriage is honorable in all. The whoremonger, God will judge. But the thing is, I'm just saying, you've got to remember that's just a time of life and youth. As it is with a corn stalk, that life is in that stalk right now to bring forth the harvest. And when that harvest is finished, all the life leaves that stalk. And the stalk goes back to its original elements, or it goes back to the dust. And we are not supposed to be so foolish as the world that we can't understand that. And we're supposed to know that having food and raiment, we're to be with content. And they're with content, and that we are God's people, that he supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory, and that we're not going to go lacking, and that he's told us to consider the lilies, the sparrows, and all these kind of things, that God will take care of us like he did the people in the wilderness, that he'll heal us, that he'll supply all these things. He'll give us his threefold blessing as to all the natural things that emanate from God. And that he will give us the physical blessing as to health to enjoy these natural substances. And that he will give us eternal security as the spiritual blessing to eternally secure forever the physical health and the natural wealth as to the blessings. God gives these as to body, soul, and spirit. And Paul enumerates it by saying, and I would like to present you to God blameless, body, soul, and spirit. So then we're not to be so ignorant as to take advantage of our brother and try to sell something to him or rob him or live off of him and leech off of him. We're not to be so silly and foolish as to try to be some kind of a singer or some kind of a celebrity or some kind of a president or whatever. It is true that Daniel was in that place. He didn't seek it. God put him there for a purpose. As it was said in the days of Esther, Esther didn't seek that. But folks, we're not seeking after the world. Somebody says, well, I feel like Brother Pike, that they're so famous and they're so outstanding. That's my dream, if I could just have people drooling after me. That shows your stupidity. That shows what kind of ignorance that you've got. You are as a child of God if you should get born again. You are as a child of God to the brightness of His glory that you outshine, the brightness of the noonday, if the veil was taken off of your interperson. And you are the glamour and you are the true star. You're the great, wonderful, true star. And all of this junky thing called Hollywood and singers and all of this rock and roll and all of this mess you're listening to on tape and whatever, the young folks and whatever, and these devils and demons and idols that you're going after to paint up your face and to fix up your body and to try to look like that. Don't you know that you're drawing devils and demons and parasites and they're living your life and eating you up and you never enjoy your life? You go through life feeling this way, you know, as to what you are, and it's nothing but a strong delusion as vanity, and that it's wrecking you as the youth and it's wrecking the people of the world. And because you're youthful in life, it's causing the older people to run and go whoring after you because they think you found the right way of life. And then you cause some of the elders to die and go to hell, like Elvis Presley that led his mother into hell, as far as we know. Led her away from God, and she was trying to serve God, and because of his foolishness and going after it, got her out there. And a woman just died over here a few days ago. Her daughter and son-in-law, as far as I know, done the very same thing to her. Led her away from God, and as far as I know, unless God undertook, she could have died and gone to hell too. See, don't be foolish. Don't be ugly. Don't be ignorant. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. See, you are supposed to understand these things. When the life is passed on through the stock, you won't go around hugging and kissing on your wife, and she ain't going to go around hugging and kissing on you, because you're not going to feel the stimulation of the passions as to your human senses of ego that makes you relative one to another for reproduction. It ain't going to be there. See, and you're not going to care for that. Somebody said, you mean I will never love her no more and she won't love me? Folks, you should love her whether she's your wife or not. You're supposed to love everybody. Love is of God. And love will always be there. Love was there before you ever married. And love will always be there. But as to lust, I'm speaking of lust. Worldliness, tying people together, is lust. That is the desire of the flesh. As to the original rendering of the word lust, that is your desire. And God has made that so you will reproduce and so that there can be human bodies in the world. How did you get into the world? If somebody didn't reproduce, how did you ever get here? You wouldn't have been here. So that's honorable to God. It's not dirty. It's not degraded. It's not filthy. Like your dirty, filthy mind of you dirty, filthy people think here and all over the world. It's not dirty. It's not filthy. It's not scummy. It's not messy. You know, when you look at me with that old dirty, filthy look, or that old lustful thing like it's in your taste buds, you know, you look at a woman like you could eat her up. And somebody said one time, you want a wife and you feel like you can eat her up till you get her and you wish you had her eat her up after you got her. And you see some of her characteristics. You know, you need to get out of that. We are people of God. We don't walk after the sight of our eyes. Some of you men, you lust so till you just feel like you just, your wife, there's no contentment whatsoever. Some of you women are the same way. When are we going to grow up and become God men and God women and realize that we're not part of the beast world and we're not part of that filth? Why don't you go out there? You men that do that, why don't you leave off with religion and go out there and satisfy yourself till your belly rots out, cancer rots you out, and you stink like they do when they're rotten, and let them throw you in the grave and finish it. You that want dope and all that stuff, why don't you go out there and become a barfly? Some of you women till you look like a hag down on Skid Row somewhere. You know, and finish it up and let them use your body and misuse your body. The Bible said in the last days that they'll be so terrible and so bad that they'll leave the natural use of the woman, which is for reproduction for little ones. You know, and they'll leave that and men with men working that which is unseemingly burned in their lust, and God burning Sodom and Gomorrah, I'll burn them up in the last days because they don't have any power, any constraint, any reasoning, any understanding. Somebody said, well, you know, the people entice me. They entice you because you want to be enticed, because you desire to be enticed, because you're kind of lukewarm and you're kind of up and down and in and out. You don't have a vision for God, and you're not going after God, and you're not trying to follow after God. That's why the young girls run off with a boy and the boy runs off with a young girl and they don't marry. It's because they're beasts. That beast thing is showing up. They're like dogs. The Bible said they're dogs, they're swine, they're pigs. See, and they do, that's the way dogs and swine do. They don't have a marriage. They just do anything they want to. See, so they run off with each other and they live with each other and they do these things because they're animals. Somebody says, well, I don't think they're all animals. Well, if they're not, they'll come out of it and get married and get straightened out. And if they don't, it's positive proof they're nothing but beast and brute beast. Boy, this ain't setting well this morning. I had a revelation this morning, and now you're getting a revelation altogether different from what you thought the revelation was going to be. I just started talking here for a few minutes just so I could read, and I've done this again and again in the last few services. Come here with a sweetness of heart and come here with a mind to tell you about the revelation of God. And you're still so carnal that I feel this continually. Just as soon as I start, I feel it rising up in you. Like a man come to me yesterday. He's been with me for years. He's been in religion for many years. He was honest. He said, Brother Pike, he said, since you've been saying the things that you've been saying in the last few days, he said, it has dawned on me how carnal I am, to the extent he used the term, the resistance that I have in you. And said, or in me, rather. He said, I should be sitting on the bench working with you and trying to strengthen you in what you say. And this resistance comes from me and it's against you. And said, I've come to know that this is in me. And folks, it's in you. It's in you. I have one to pop up here and one to pop up here. And I can say this, it's not as bad as it was the other night when I reproved the boy. I reproved the boy sitting up here, and I thought, well, in reproving the boys, I said, I'll just reprove them as I usually do, and everything will just wash away as to the mud, and I'll go on with my servant. And about that time in the audience, it's just like popcorn all over. And that old carnal mind of resistance jumped up. Now, you holler at your children. You slap your children. You beat your children. Some woman here was ignorant enough to take her little one out and just beat him and take him out and beat him, and somebody said something to her about it. She said, well, he's stubborn. He won't yield. I have to beat him. Of all the stupidity of a mother talking about a little baby being like that, you know, that is what you call ignorance. And you've been here under my ministry all these years and heard me speak of the brutality of mothers like this woman sitting right here. She can't hardly stand it because I don't esteem her and I don't esteem the flesh. And she wants to cater to this, and she tries in the lust of her flesh to cater to it, and I don't cater to it. And then when she can't do that, she sulks up and she doesn't like what I say. But I'm going to tell you something. All you got to do is get born again, sister. That's all it'll take. And if you get born again, you'll never do that again in your life. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody said, when are you going to preach? Brother Pike, I'm preaching right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to grow up, folks. We've been children for a long time. And Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. The reason that preachers fall the way they do, and preachers' wives fall the way they do, and the reason that leading men fall the way they do, is because they cuddle and pet and look at and allow for these devils and demons in the service. You know what? If I was going to be a hog, I'd go find me a hog pen. And if I was going to be a dog, I'd go find me some vomit. I'd find me some mire, or I'd find me some vomit. But folks, if I'm going to be godly and I'm going to be in the church, I'm going to try to be holy and godly. If I'm not in a hog pen, then I'm not a hog. And I don't want to act like a hog.
If I'm not in mine, I'm not lapping vomit. I must be something different from a dog and a hog. So I want to act my nature. I want to act what I'm supposed to be. Oh, somebody, I know I feel this go all over the audience when I say that. Every time I have a personal reverence, you know, hey, you, Brother Pike. Yes, praise God, it's not Brother Pike, it's Christ that lived, and you can't find no fault with it. And that's what causes it to grind at you, and the devil grinds at you with your carnal mind, because I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and you can't lay nothing to my charge, and that's what upsets that old devil in you. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Now, as a natural man, I know better than anybody else. I know better than them that have fallen or whatever. But as a child of God, you can't put a finger on me. God has kept me without spot and without blemish. And if you are a child of God, no one can put a finger on you. The Bible said, no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. It is God that justifieth. It is Christ that died for you and is risen and sitting at the right hand of the Father. And God will not listen to the accuser, though Satan is the accuser of the brethren. God never listens to the accuser. Never one time does he ever listen to the accuser. Never. Because he cannot hear the accuser anymore. He put him out at Calvary. He made you perfect, that the accuser could never have opportunity or occasion again against you. There's no such thing as Satan accusing you to God. He accuses you to your own mind to injure your faith and to tear you down. And all of these things, as attacking your mind and oppressing your mind and trying to trample down the mind of humanity. He's doing all these things, but the Lord God of heaven never hears one of those things. Never. He has never heard an accusation against you from the time that you were created in his foreknowledge. You were created without fault. And God hath restored you that hath been the fallen ones as to the sight of Satan, as to the molesting of Satan, as to the sight of each other, as what would have been in the sight of God as the fallen one. He hath restored you to the original image that you fell from. He hath given you back your place that was in foreknowledge, in that you never lost it, except as in your own thinking, as in your own depraved way of acting. As to the thing that Satan had blinded you with, as to strong delusions, and as to all of the humiliation that you've had to experience. Through all of this, you was always the children of God and the elect of God by the foreknowledge of God, and you've never done anything wrong in your entire act of life as from the time of the creation in his foreknowledge as up to now or ever will. There's not one tiny thing against you. There never has been one tiny thing against you. And Jesus was delivered for our offenses as to these things that Satan would have charged against you, which wasn't you to begin with. It could not have been you to begin with. There's no way. And inasmuch as we wanted to talk about that this morning, I know we can't talk about it. He can't charge you with it, because that's why Jesus went to Calvary, for your justification. And as we say, justification indicates that you never was guilty. If I go to court for murder and my lawyer truthfully proves me innocent, then I'm justified by the law and the judge passes upon that, because I never was a murderer to begin with. If I'd have been a murderer, how could they have justified me? He might have got me off with some kind of sentence or something. But when he justified me, he proved that I wasn't guilty. And Jesus proved that because of his love and foreknowledge that I wasn't guilty. And today Satan has no occasion, not in the least, to accuse me. So I say this in the way of exhorting this morning, is that's all that we're going to get to do. I say this to you. Why then do you condemn yourself? Why is it that you have a sense of condemnation, a feeling of condemnation? Why is it that you're hampered in your mind and feel dirty and unclean? Why is that? There couldn't be but two reasons. One reason is that you're not born again.
Because the Bible said to the pure, all things are pure. But to the defiled and the unbelieving is there nothing pure. Their very conscience is defiled. Or else it is that you are a babe in the Lord, as not having grown up to understand what you are in Christ, and you are stumbling and staggering and listening to a voice of accusation that doesn't have any power against you, that doesn't have any strength against you, that doesn't have any right as to occasion to accuse you. And the Bible said, if that be the case, then happy is he that doth not condemn himself over that which he alloweth. If it be an occasion of stumbling and you didn't have anything to do with it, why accuse yourself? Can't you just picture somebody going along in the dark and they can't see and they stumble and they hurt themselves and they get up and they say, "Ah, you're such a fool to stumble. You crazy person." Can't you just picture somebody with a good mind doing that? Would that make any kind of sense? If I'm doing my best to do right and I stumble, am I going to jump all over myself and say something against myself and get all upset when I know down in my heart I've done my very best not to do wrong? No, see, Paul said it's not me doing it. It's sin that dwelleth within me as to the body, not yet having been changed. That sin, I'm not guilty of that. I'm not guilty of that. If I'm not guilty of that, I'm not going to accuse myself of it. If it was the devil, you know, if you stick your foot out and trip me, it wasn't me that fell as to being guilty of that. That was your evil doing. What I'll do the next time and I find out, I'll just stay away from you. The Bible said, withdraw thyself from everyone that walks disorderly. If you perceive there's no understanding in a person, why go out there and dope up with them and drink with them and get out into those kind of things unless you're the same kind of fella? You couldn't do it. Like the old saying, birds of a feather flock together. And as it is said, evil communication corrupt good manners. If you wasn't after the same thing that they got and that they're wanting, you wouldn't be out there with them to start with. That's like I was telling somebody the other day about going to musical concerts and going to these singings and whatever. I said, if you wasn't after what they were after, you wouldn't be out there. You're after the same thing. You people that go to these kind of things, these singings, even these gospel singings as you call them, if you wasn't part of them, you wouldn't be there. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I'm part of that thing. They sing about God. I know, so does the rock and rollers sing about God. And a lot of them rock and rollers are some you go to listen at. You go there and you listen to the jokes and all these kind of things and you tell me that's of God. Like women preachers coming through to preach and you go over there to hear them say, this great, wonderful woman, you must be out of your mind to call yourself a preacher or somebody with an understanding. I can understand people that don't understand. People with understanding, I can't understand folks like that. It just proves that they hadn't got any understanding. They just got a testimony that they got understanding, but they wouldn't dare do nothing like that. There's something about that person that's after the lust of the flesh. They're after the lust of the flesh either for the woman or the frolic or what they see her do or the admiration of all of these things, like the great mighty Amy McPherson. You know, anybody that had any sense at all would know that woman wasn't right with God, even reading a little bit about her. Though she drawed the great multitudes, though she left great impression, and though the gospel came forth as to what she was saying and whatever. See, I don't see how people can get so mixed up in their mind when they've got the Bible. Obviously, they don't read the Bible. They don't have the understanding of the Bible. They haven't gone to the Bible. All of these preachers that's coming out of seminary and all these kind of things, and different preachers in different denominations, how in the world they can look at them and say that they're men of God and they're called of God and these kind of things? Somebody would say, well, don't you believe God put them out there? He certainly did put them out there. Just like he said, I raised up Pharaoh and hardened his heart that I might show my glory. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. There has to be natural people with natural preachers, as you say, out there. Brother, it ain't all that bad. Just swallow down. Someday you'll get over it. You're having a hard time, but I'll tell you what, you're pricking my side. But someday you'll get over it. Might be when they plant you, but you'll get over it. So then, what am I saying? Those people out there, they don't have God. They're not Christians. Somebody said, but I know that they preach, Brother Pike. I know they say the word. I know I've heard them preach the word. I know Jesus heard Satan bring the word to verbatim. Read it in the Bible. He brought it down, jot and tittle. And the Bible said they transformed their minds into the word, into ministers as to put forth light, but they're children of the devil. Somebody said, well, how do they do that? Just like a mirror does, when a mirror reflects the light, it's just as much light as the sun or the light that's shining in it. But if somebody happens to walk between that mirror and the light, the mirror goes out, but the light don't go out. As the shadows that come in between it, then it shows what is what. You know, I got another man that raised up over here to my right because I said something about another man. It rebounded over. And that's because it's like a gun half cocked. You know, when you're just about half in one mind and half in another, and you're not really favorable toward the preacher anyway, and not really favorable toward the things he said, not really submitted, but wanting to get in and be something. You know, it gives occasion just as quick as the preacher says something, just like that, and you become a thorn in my flesh too. Like Brother Branham said one time, looking out here, he started to cast a devil out of a person. He said all of a sudden, he saw another devil jump up over here, another person, and he saw these devils pulling at each other. One was pulling to get strength to keep from being cast out. Got a man sitting right here in front of me, as intellectual as he can be, as fine a man as I know of. But when, and as long as we're not in service, him and I are just like that. He gets in service, and that old intellectual mind of carnality rises up, and it's a thorn in my flesh. Folks, this is what keeps you back from good things. The Bible said, and thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God, the body of iniquity that was killed at Calvary. It's separated between you and your God and hath kept thee back from great, wonderful things. So we go on and go on, and we have to just, you know, Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to bring revelation, speak unto you as unto spiritual. But seeing that ye are bathed in Christ, he said, I can't do that. So just desire the sensical or milk of the word that you might grow thereby. You know, I spoke of a man not too long ago that used to be a thorn in my flesh. And he got over that. He got over it. The Lord showed me he was going to get over it. And I declare every service he come to for years, it just grinded me like a grinding stone. But he got over that, and he's turning out to be one of the finest that I have. And I don't care what I say or how hard I preach or I come down the line, he absolutely don't let that old devilish resistance of carnality and Satan rise up. And he used to, it was with a regularity. But he just don't do it. He's intending to be clean and be a man of God and be right, and it just thrills my heart. It's like somebody that come to me yesterday. And they said, Brother Pike said, you said something in the service about two men that was pressing in. That was really pressing in. He said, I felt like I was one of those men. Is that right? I said, it sure was. It was him. He had gotten a victory. See, he knew who that was. Just like I spoke of the boys in the balcony over here. And I said the things I did. Somebody came to me this morning from the balcony. Somebody came to me yesterday from the balcony. It was the two boys. Why? I say something about the others. They come to me. Why do they do that? Why out of all of them do they do that? Because they know that they're the one. You know, it's like I said the other day, if you're sitting there with a revolver in your pocket and I see somebody's here with a revolver in their pocket, there might be 15 others here, but you know that I'm talking about you to the extent you've got a revolver in your pocket. See, and these people know that that's in their heart. They know that it's in their mind. And like the young fellow said, he said, Brother Pike, that is so accurate. Somebody came the other day, said, I'm almost shocked at the accuracy of those things that you say in discernment. Folks, it should be accurate. It's God. And the Spirit of truth is accurate. And he said, it hit it right on the head. He said, the things you said, even about the girls and everything, said it was just exactly that way. Said it with tears in his eyes. You know, I'm here not to put on a show or to try to be made a spectacle or make you a spectacle. But I am here to reason with you and try to get you to understand that we have come far enough along that we shouldn't be taken with the foolishness that other churches and other people are taken with. You know, as to a congregation in the world, I preach to them people out there. I don't talk to them like I'm talking to you. Why should I? They don't understand what you understand. But folks, if some of you have been with me as long as you've been with me and you don't understand anymore, then you understand as to what you're doing in the Bible. So the child is known by what he's doing. I'm afraid of you. Paul said to the Jews, preaching to some of them, he said, I'm afraid of you. He said, after all of this, you still acknowledge days and times and seasons as to allegoric things. All of these things, he said, I'm afraid of you. I don't want to mess with you. See, that means you've got to be a devil. You've got to have the devil. You've got to be mixed up and messed up. And you don't have any understanding. And the Bible said, if a man don't have any understanding, don't mess with him. Go from him. You've got to have evil thoughts and evil communication. When the Bible said that charity thinketh no evil, and I don't want to be around you because I don't want to reflect you. I don't want the fleas to get off on me. Somebody said, well, you're a dog just like I'm a dog. Fleas can get on you. Well, I want to be a dog without any fleas. Let's give the Lord that. I don't like scratching and them biting me all the time. There are dogs without fleas. All right. I love you. And I want to do everything I can to help you. I appreciate the two men I spoke about the other night, of them keeping themselves. And even today, the other man that did not come to me, he's still keeping himself. Just like he did the other night, he's not rising up against me. He's making an effort. He's winning a victory. That proves, it's a spirit that proves it can be done. You know, if one side is like this and on the other side it's like that, then it could not be you. Because if it was you and your nature, you would do that all the time. It proves that that is a spirit and you can get rid of that spirit. God didn't make man like that. God didn't make man to sit on the bench and resent him. He didn't do that. But what it is, folks, it's a spirit of Satan. And it causes you to feel a little distant to me as it begins to talk to you. Because it's trying to get that body. And you're not anchored in God like you ought to. And it'll create thoughts. And then the thoughts will create a little barrier and a little distance. And them thoughts then wants to put the preacher down. Because it will say, you heard what he said. You know he's talking about you. You know how you feel. But see what it is. If you are the right kind of person, it's not you. It is the devil. I feel that way about the devil. And God feels that way about the devil. And the devil has done become one with your mind. And now you can't differentiate between you and the devil. And the devil knows this thing is hot on his trail. And he knows these things are being set against him. And to cast him out of that body, to put him into the dry places. And you don't understand that he is interwoven with you like it was when that spirit got interwoven with Peter. When Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter not understanding. See, and this thing has got you and you feel like that spirit. You feel that same way that that spirit feels. And when that thing says, he's talking against us. He's talking against us. And you feel like that God is against you, but he's against that devil. And because you're allowing that devil to create this feeling within you as to his nature, his characteristics, then you feel that God is against you. And if you willingly give place to it, then you are a devil like Judas. He is against you. And he'll burn your body because whatever you're one with, that's what you are. If I take on the spirit of Christ, then it's no more I that live, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, Paul said, in the flesh, not just in the spirit, I live it by the Son of God. And I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. If I take on the spirit of Lucifer, then am I of the devil and I'm of his, Judas, of his flesh and of his bone as to the son of perdition. So, if you take on a spirit of lust, then you feel lustful all the way through. You feel the same way that devil does. If you take on a spirit of gossip, backbiting, your exhilaration is just to tell something that somebody else hasn't told. Just to tell something, just to get to tell it and to say something.
And when you see something happen to your brother or sister, you think, bless God, I knowed it. Bless God.
You know, I knowed it. The ignorance that is in you, Paul said, is causing the blindness of your heart. You know, let me say this, folks, since I'm just talking to you anyway. Jesus did this. This is all he did. Anyway, just talk to him. But, you know, it's like the Jewish people. I illustrate so many times in that the Bible speaks of the Jew first. As in the natural revelation always is the Jew first, or you ain't not going to get your revelation. See, as to the spiritual Jew and the spirit, it's always the spiritual Jew first. So the whole book is about the Jews. I speak of this, we say that God blinded Israel in part, and that is true, in that God creates all things. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. He has his way in the good. He has his way in the evil. So it is true that he did blind Israel in part. But folks, let's look at this thing like it is. As to understanding, the Bible said in malice be children, howbeit in understanding be men. In understanding, God didn't blind the Jews. Paul said this was the blindness of the ignorance of their own heart. Said, and the ignorance of them within their own heart, they blinded themselves, that they could not see when good comes. If God blinded them, who blinded these people out here in the world? Of course, God did, in that he has his way in the good and evil. But if God blinded them and then saved us, wouldn't that be respect to person? They blinded themselves by their lust and their ignorance. Did God make the Jews kill the wise men? He sent the wise men and then told the Jews, kill them as they come. Do you believe that God did that? See, is God a respected person? Is God's kingdom divided? Wouldn't that be ignorance? Even he testified that a divided kingdom couldn't stand. See, God didn't do that. See, God is not the author of confusion. God told Israel from the start what they were to do. He laid it down precisely as to the curse and the blessing. And he said, and when you do this, I'll bless you. And they did do it. There was not one feeble one among 3 million people. Their feet didn't swell. He took care of them. He took them into Canaan. Except for the ones that mumbled and grumbled against God. And he took care of all of those until finally he had to cut them off. Swear because of their unbelief and grumbling that they would not enter into Canaan. And said to you and I, look back, for this is an example unto you, lest you fail to enter into the rest of God. So, why did the Jews do that way? Why did it happen to them that way? It's because they got lifted up, they got self-righteous, they'd done their own thing. And when they did, God said, away with your solemn assemblies, away with your fasting, away with your feasts, and I'm sick of it. Said, you won't do the things that I tell you to do. When Jesus come as God personified in the body, he said, you generation of vipers. He said, Pharisees and scribes that sat in the seat of Moses, said, you desire and look for the salutation in the marketplace to be called to the people, rabbi, you wear your long robes and all these things, and you sit in the seats of these things of judgment. He said, but you're hypocrites, you're whited sepulchres, full of dead men's bones. He said, you don't keep the word of God. Somebody said, precious people kept the word of God, and God has blinded them. How can we be so ignorant? Jesus said, you don't keep the word of God. He said, you keep the tradition of the elders. He said, it's written in the word of God as from Moses, as concerning the child, that the child should help the father and work with the father and share with the father. He said, but you say that he doesn't have to do that, and that it's a blessing to the father just to have him, you know, whatever he does. Jesus said, you blind guides that strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. You mean to tell me that God blinded them? Wouldn't it be something for me to blind a man? I go put his eyes out, blind him, and then I stand out there in the front of him and I say, you blind old idiot. And then I turn to Frank and I say, I'm loved, Brother Tate. See, God is not stupid, people. We might be ignorant, but God is not ignorant.
God says many things that we have to understand. We have to understand the terminology. That's what a preacher is for, is to make you understand. I know we all think we understand, you know, we understand. I know that. That's the self-esteem of people today. But if they understand, why are they still dying and going to hell by the millions? Somebody said, well, you don't know that they're going to hell. Yeah, that's where you're wrong. By the grace of God, I do understand, and that's why I know that they don't understand, and they're going to hell. John said, we know that they're wrong. He said, because we know that we're right. If you don't have anything as an absolute to measure something by, somebody would say, Brother Pike, you mean that you measure people by yourself? Absolutely not. I measure them by Christ. For it is not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. All right. So then, we need to understand, folks, that we are great and we are mighty. As I started at the first of this service, to try to magnify you, to bring you out, to show you what you are. See, but how am I going to magnify you that hear me or my voice? How am I going to magnify you and lift you up and bring you out to your great, mighty Godship? When you're not gods, when you've never been born again, when you don't serve the Lord, when you go to the pigs and the dogs. It's no wonder things convert over and change. And then the Lord starts talking like this. Somebody would say, well, are we that bad? Well, for your sake, as to ease things a little bit. I'm speaking to the whole world. These go to the whole world and them out there that hear me. See, so maybe that'd be a consolation. Well, let me tell you something, folks. It's high time that we awoke. The Bible said when they awoke, they saw His glory. And when we awake, we're going to see something like we've never seen in our life. When we stop our little old evil doings, our little old conniving ways, our little old floundering around from place to place, just doing any old way, and we get to be men, and every little thing that's said from the sacred desk don't offend us, that we're so wishy-washy, so much resistance, so much in carnality, that everything that's said from the sacred dead, it offends us. We get upset. We're gone. If we don't, we should act just so religious and pious and sit there. And we're like a wall of resistance without evil surmising and reasoning, knowing that God is the Spirit that perceived their thoughts in His Spirit, and knowing that God's here, and that it's God speaking to you, and that the Bible said it not be you but God, knowing that God's here, and you still have them kind of thoughts, and you don't search your heart, you don't enter into His gates with thanksgiving, you don't enter into His courts with praise, you still have those carnal thoughts, knowing that the carnal mind is death and enmity with God. And I say this again. Somebody said, well, bless God, I don't know that God's here. Well, what kind of fool are you for coming here? Why don't you go eat, drink, and be merry? Tomorrow you're going to die anyway. What do you come here and waste my time for and waste your time if you don't believe this is the house of God and you don't believe that God's here? I've said before, that's the bigger fool right there. I wouldn't come here if I didn't believe this was God's house. I wouldn't come here if I didn't believe you was God's children, or that God had me to try to perfect you and bring you into the wonderful faith of Jesus Christ. Contending for the faith of Christ Jesus that was once delivered unto the saints of God, to this extent that the Bible says, we wish this even the perfecting of your faith, and the ministry set there for the perfecting of your faith. Which faith? Cometh by the hearing of the word. Or if I tell you the word, explain the word, make you understand the word, and yet not I but Christ, they shall all be taught of God. Then you understand the word, then you believe the promises of God as all things that pertain unto life, and then your strength as to believing is just complete. It's solid, it's staunch, and the devil can't waver it. And then you are like a defense city. You know, and the devil can't cause you any problem. And folks, if I could tell you the things that belong to you, Jesus said concerning the Jews, as to the things that belong to you and your children, if I could have told you, if you could have listened, if you'd have known that this was your life, eternal, abundant life, standing in a human form in the day of your visitation, He said, if you'd have only known. See, and the days of the Gentiles is almost over. Almost over.
Somebody would say, well, what do you mean by that? Folks, has it ever dawned on you that some people that God sends, that Jesus said, I came not of myself, but the Father sent me. And the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And if he is one that stood in my counsel, you can tell the difference because he will cause my people to turn from their sins. If the others are sin of God, if that's the move of God, why didn't they turn the people from their sins? Somebody says, but Brother Pike, you're not turning me from my sins. I know, because you are a devil. I didn't come to turn you from your sins. I came to seek that and save that which was lost, to turn them away from the sin that's tried to take their life and tried to cause them to be disoriented of the things of God, and to cause them that love the Lord to be free from the accusation of Satan. I never come to try to free you devils from sin. You are devils. You are demons of darkness. You are the blind that lead the blind. If the blind fall into the ditch, or lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. If they fall into the ditch, that is, the rest fall into the ditch with them. If they are blind in their leaders. They came to Jesus on one occasion. They said, did you know that this saying that you said offended these people, as to the Pharisees, the scribe? Jesus never apologized. He said, leave them alone. They done got him upset. Done got him disturbed. Done got him angry. He said, leave them alone. He said, if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. So folks, that's just about where it is with the Gentile days. They're just about over. And my, how I wished that you had enough hunger and thirst praying for the spirit of revelation to get away from the seesaw religion and the swing religion that's in and out and up and down, and to get on one side of the fence or another as to be hot or cold, and stop this lukewarm thing of wanting to come to the church so you can get a popcorn sermon, to go to the cafe when you get out, and to live like the devil, half in and half out, 10 times worse than the man that is cold out yonder in the world, because it could be that he's elect. But it's positive proof that you are a devil, because you come to the knowledge of the truth and you've rejected the truth and you stand at the door and you won't go in, and everybody else that would get in, you're in their way, you're hindering, and they can't get in. So that proves that you are a devil. Whereas some of them that's out in the world, as to Jesus said one time to the Pharisees and scribes when they got him upset, he said, the drunkards and the harlots are in better shape than you are. As to this extent, they go into the kingdom when you yourself shall be turned out and cast out. Said the drunkards and the harlots is better than the church people, because they do repent when they hear about the gospel. And they do say, I'm dirty and filthy, like the man that stood in the temple when he said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. And God justified him and saved him, when the other said, I fast and I pray. I'm a churchgoer, as we say. And the Lord wouldn't even as much as look at him or speak to him. The Bible said that the other man went down to his house justified. The other was vomit on his table. He spewed him out of his mouth. Last days, lukewarm, Laodicean, people's rights, sitting on the church benches with that old resistance there, that old carnal resistance. Bless God, my rights. Verbal abuse. I don't see it that way. I got my own sovereignty. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. That sounds pretty good. I don't know. I'll think it over. You know, all this kind of corruption and corrupt. Instead of sitting there in the seat, coming into the gates with thanksgiving, enter into his courts with praise, and sitting there on the seat literally trembling, trembling, trembling. Like the boy that came to me yesterday with tears in his eyes and trembling and saying, I won't do that no more. He said, anybody that this said this thing is so easy to understand, a baby could understand it. And said, anybody that talks about not understanding this not being right, said, they must be crazy. Said, they must be crazy. Folks, I'm telling you. Somebody said, well, bless God. You mean we ought to tremble? I mean you ought to tremble. If you want God to look at you. If you want God to look at you. That boy had the fear of God, so he was trembling. Somebody said, well, now you mean that's the way it works? That's the way it works. Somebody said, tell it like it is. That's the way it is. Somebody said, well, give me scripture. The Bible said, in whom, to whom shall I look?
He that trembleth at my words, that's the one I'll look at. All right, let's stand together.
My eyes are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil, going to and fro in the earth, looking for the upright in heart, that I might show myself strong in their behalf. The Lord apparently was wanting me to say these things, or He would not have brought them to me. He brought them to me for a reason. And I felt He wanted me to read just this little bit of scripture. He brought it back to my mind after the close of the book. Ecclesiastes, Solomon, his writing. Solomon, who asked God for wisdom and understanding, pleased God. And he said, Solomon, I'm going to give you wisdom and understanding. Because you did not ask for riches, I'm going to give you riches. Because you did not ask for long life, I'm going to bless you with all these things. It pleaseth me that you was concerned about wisdom and that to guide my people. All of these other things, I'm going to make you a king that's so rich that there never has been the like before. There will never be the like after it. So in our day, you'll never see a king like Solomon. Never. There'll never be one. There never has been one. There never will be one. He was symbolic of Christ, the great Holy Spirit, that'll take over. All of the world humbled to Solomon. From the islands, they brought him the beautiful birds, the gold, the silver. The Bible said that he actually gathered gold like dust. Great and mighty. And this is the writings of Solomon. They called him the preacher. He ended his whole life by saying, the summary of the whole matter is you should fear God and keep His commandments. The whole summary of the thing. He made many great statements in his lifetime. Never lived a greater. And yet, today, as in Jesus' time, He said a greater than Solomon is here. A greater. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, there never was a king like him. There never will be a king like him. That's right. But as to the spirit, as to the next world, the great king in that world, Solomon wouldn't be equal to a schoolboy in his presence. And as to the great spirit of the king, as to the high priest, Melchizedek, Solomon's not even to be compared with him. The Holy Spirit is here now. Christ is here now. There's a greater than Solomon here now. They shall all be taught of God. And he says here in this book of Ecclesiastes, the first chapter, 12th verse, I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I commune with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of the spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. I said in mine heart, go now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad. And of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yea, acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builted me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kind of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasures of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hand had wrought, and all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And then I said in my heart, that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as the fool? Therefore I hated life, because the works that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. For all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have shown myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten thereunto more than I? For God hath given to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail together and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and do good in his life. He goes on to say, this is the gift of God. So then what do we say here? He said, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. Somebody would say, well, I know, Brother Pike, those things that are crooked, and they do make them straight. God said, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. According to the foreordination of God from the foundation of the world, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. That which is crooked, the Bible said, if the Ethiopian can change his skin, if the leopard can change his spots, then they that are accustomed to do evil can do good. There's no such thing as the gifts of God being given through repentance of your tears or coming to the altar. You're either elect or you're not elect, and it will show up in your life. If you're elect, the Bible said, make your calling and election sure by doing these things. Or that is to prove that these things are in your life. And if they're not in your life, then you're not elect. You can profess. You can say, I believe. You can join the church. You can give. You can do whatever you want to. But you'll always have that old raunchy attitude. You'll always have that old hardness. You'll always have that old lust. You'll always have that old resistance. You'll always be a thorn in the flesh of the man of God and the people of God. You'll always be a sore thumb. You'll always be a Jonah on board because your love is in the world. Your desires are in the world. You've got the love of the world in your heart. You're looking back into Egypt, even though you might have repented and come out of it, and you will be swallowed up and by the flesh as to this, as God swallowed them up when the hole was made in the earth. You're nothing but dust, and that old body will swallow you up, and you'll go down to the pit quickly, for you've got the love of the world in you, and the love of the Father's not there. And being delivered out of Egypt as to coming into this thing to the grace of God, that you might see your wrongs, you're still turning back into Egypt in your heart, and all of your endeavor, all of your ego, all of your thrill, all of your joy, all of your ambition is really for the natural and the natural securities. And that's where you get your jubilant. See, you're still just what you was to start with. So he swore that they would not enter into his rest. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. When serving the Lord becomes a joy and a delight, and you just love to serve God, you just love the ways of God, you just love to kill out that old body, you just love to surrender, you love to give the back to the beating of the whip, and you love to give the hands to the nails, and you love to give your head to the thorns, as delivered as a sheep under the slaughter, killed all the day long for his sake. When you love to do this, you're willing to do this, you want to do this, self-denial. Thank you, baby. And the Bible says, and they that belong to the Lord, that they have mortified the flesh with the deeds thereof. When you get to where you love his way, then when you get to where you do this, you've got God. Everything's going to be all right. Sherry's wanted to thank everyone for praying for Faith during the brain surgery. It really hurt me about something that happened as to the dad and to this little one. And I was praying and I said, well, God, if the dad don't care nothing about it, and I'm sure he must, we just get beside ourselves. I said, I care something about it. And as a father in the gospel, I care about it. And I was praying for it. And I told my wife, I said, the Lord let me know for sure that everything's going to be right about this thing. And I believe that this little thing happened, that it might shake her dad up, because it looked like I saw something to where God was going to get a hold of his heart. One time was a fine person, and then he got off on dope and got out in the world, and of course, things wasn't right with the family in general. But at any rate, this little thing shook him up because of some things that were said over the telephone to him. And the little girl talked with him and said, Daddy, I understand you. She made the statement, said, I don't think you care if I do die. And I think it tore him up so bad, you know, that it shook him up, and maybe this thing was for that cause. But nevertheless, you're going to be what you are. And any time you come to my service, you're going to have that old carnal hardness, that old self-esteem and self-will and self-way of yours that's ruled your house with a rod of iron. It's been such a temper, you know, that you'd smack people or smack anything in front of you. I got heard of a stupid thing the other day. Somebody got upset at somebody and just stupidly broke the windshield out because that they done what they did in testifying of God. I've seen them, some in my own family, get upset. The wife, break the windshield out. Have to put a new windshield in. You know, And some get upset and they'll smack the wall.
How stupid and ignorant can people get of people that are supposed to be intelligent to allow such devils and demons to gnaw at them and eat at them and do such things?
I thank God for the testimony of one of them that saw this, that went on and acted like a son of God and a Christian and left a testimony in the behalf of these people to where that they do see a light and can come to God and get away from such foolishness. Folks, let me tell you something. This is the produced product and the result of them that think they're Christians and say that they're Christians, that won't come to the house of God and won't get with the children of God, that try to prove their point, go through miseries and sorrows, won't come to the house of God and have such an ugly old temper that Satan eats them like worms. Sad, sad, sad. Let's sing this little chorus together.
I love him. I love him all because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation. On Calvary's tree. Sing that with me now. I love him. Can you sing that with me? Let's sing this. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I'm trusting the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in God's book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Oh, I'm trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right since Jesus came, save my soul. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be. You know what? You don't realize how much everything's gonna be all right. I tell you, you don't. You can't realize how much. For you that believe God and you that love the Lord, you just don't realize how much. So let us praise Him. Glad to see Tony in church. He's been with us for 2-3 times now. I'm really thankful to see Tony get back into service. Glad to see Brother Jimmy Smith, his son and daughter-in-law, this morning in service. Always glad to see you in the house of God. We appreciate you coming to be with us in the house of God. May not mention it right off, but we still appreciate you. Love you. glad to see you here. It means a lot to us to see you here. It means more to us to see you give your heart to God. If you'll give your heart to God and serve God, that's what really means something to us. But we're still glad to have you come and visit with us. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at noontime. What a praise. Praise Him. And sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down. Oh, heaven. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down on me. So let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning and praise Him at the noontime. Praise. Want to praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Let's lift our hands up together. Worship the Lord. Thank the Lord for a place called Little Bethlehem. For church that belongs to you and your children. And an opportunity for you to come and worship the Lord. Real freedom to listen to the Word of God and turn in your complaints as to the way that you feel. And to where you can go on with the Lord. Know about Jesus and know the truth. The Bible said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When you know the truth, it makes you free from demon spirits. It makes you free because He sent His Word and cast out the unclean spirits. It makes you free from sickness because the Bible says that He sent His Word and healed them. It makes you free from poverty because Jesus said, as the Word, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, which means filled up and overflowing. The Word of God makes you free from fear, from frustration, from anxieties, from sorrows, from heartaches, complex of situations. The Word of God makes you free from that. So you need to remember that. You need to love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. You need to meditate in His laws day and night. You need to cast down imagination. Every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. To bring into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Every thought. I'm not here to scold you. I'm not here to hurt you. I want to help you. I want to help you. I want to do something for you. I want to do something for you. I'm here for your edification, not for your hurt. But I'm here for your edification. See, the Bible said the man of God is set there for your good. But if you do evil, said be afraid. Because he's not bearing the sword in vain. If you do that which is wrong, then he's set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. So for conscience sake, don't do that that's wrong. Don't sit on the seat of the scornful, nor stand in the way of sinners. Let your delight be in the laws of God, to meditate in them day and night, so that he can speak to you for good. And he can say thanks to you for blessings. And he can bless you. Because whoever he blesses is blessed. Whoever he curses is cursed. So you want the blessings of the Lord. And folks, indeed, 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 you don't know. You don't know. One day you will. But you don't know, as Paul said, the greatness of the magnitude of the love of God and how much he hath loved you. We think that we know with all of this condemnation, all of the accusations,
with the devil trying to beat our brains out, as we say. In the midst of all this frustration, you think you know. But I tell you, before the living, loving God, you don't even have one tiny bit of understanding as to compared to what is the strength and the greatness of that love. If you did, you'd never fret again. Never, never, no, never. Never in your life. Never, no more. It is so fantastically wonderful and so great. And God wants you to understand just as much as you can of this love of God that passeth all understanding. It is so great that with all of your confidence as believing in this love, it still passeth your understanding. It is so great. It is so wonderful. You know, you read that scripture, you hear about those things, and somebody tells you, but you can't understand, folks, what it really means. It is so wonderful. I know this much. I have had a great look at it. And oh my, how different it is. How different it is from what you think. How different it is. And how I'd love to express to you as to a measure of His greatness, so that you could have that rest and peace and consolation that you'll never have until you know, because faith worketh by love, and your believing will never be perfected until you can understand more about that love. That's why charity is the bond of perfectness. It makes your faith to reach an all-time high. And it is so wonderful, so wonderful. We sing that song, "Wonderful, Wonderful Jesus Is to Me." Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me. He's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful, wonderful is my beloved Savior. There's power, there's glory in His name. He's called us to glory and virtue. Let's leave the sanctuary this morning with the thought in mind that, Father, today we're yours forever and eternally, and that we're going to give ourselves to you. We're tired of the world. We're tired of it stealing our virtues by taking our thoughts. And we're going to keep our minds stayed upon Christ Jesus, to every thought in subjection, to become the mighty God that you mean for us to be in the earth, as to save mankind and to be used, as to utilize your great wisdom and power to free men from the bondage that to which they've been enslaved by Satan, to bring them from him that is stronger than they, and to set up your wonderful kingdom of the government being upon the shoulders of the sons of God, that the world may see our good works as our light to glorify our Father in heaven, and to shine as a great light around the world with liberty and justice for all, as to this wonderful God liberty of the sons of God. If you do that, there'll be an experience in your life such as you've never known before. Close your eyes, lift up your hands, and let's sing together. And I will praise Him. Will praise the Lamb.